I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
We're coming to you live from the Quicken Loans studios in New York City on CBS Sports Radio, national mortgage lender Quicken Loans. Apply simply, understand fully, mortgage confidently. March Madness is here. Tune in all week to TBS and CBS On the Go with March Madness Live, or listen on Westwood One. A. Sherrod Blakely covers the Celtics and NBA for NBC Sports in Boston. He joins us tonight to talk about the Celtics a little bit. A. Sherrod, thanks for joining us on CBS Sports Radio, brother.
Not a problem, man. Not a problem at all.
Hey, so, you know, Kyrie, it's everything to this team. You know, points, assists, his field goal percentage is sickening. His handle is ridiculous. He is... like, the reason for me that I watch Celtic games, like, I can't get enough of watching this guy play basketball, and I play a ton of basketball, and he's one of those guys like Harden. I just got to watch his games just to watch him break ankles and make stuff happen, scoring, passing, and winning. They are just not the same team without him, and with him and Brown out, I mean, they just don't, you know, they don't do it for me, obviously.
No, and they don't do it for themselves, frankly. They've found a way to, from game to game, just really compete. And they'll win their share of games without them. But when you talk about the goals that they set for themselves this season, which is to make another deep playoff run, you can't do that without Kyrie Irving. He is – not only does he deliver points, but he also delivers presence. And he makes those guys around him better, which is something that we never really had a feel for when he was in Cleveland, because before LeBron got there, they were just a hot mess. They weren't very good. And once LeBron arrived, you know, he was kind of relegated to being that number two guy. In Boston, he is the alpha of this franchise. He's the one that everyone is locked in and focused on. And without him, you know, they can still, you know, possibly get out of the first round. But in terms of getting to the conference finals, NBA finals, that's just not going to happen if you don't have a healthy Kyrie Irving.
So, first, let's break down what's wrong. And, you know, I think they're real vague, obviously. I know Stevens has talked about it. He's got to talk to more people, and they're monitoring the knee soreness and everything else. But it's just got to be real scary for him and for Celtic fans to hear about bad knees from this star player that they got their hands on. Are you worried about his knees, like, for the future? And obviously for right now, it is a problem.
Yeah, I'm more concerned about it for the present, because right now, you know, he's been able to manage the pain tolerance associated with that soreness throughout the season. But now it's not it hasn't gone away as quickly as they've been accustomed to this season. So that's why it's really, in the short term, I'm more concerned. Long term, I think he's going to be okay. I think that, you know, that you're always concerned when you're talking about knees, because the point that you were making, kind of alluding to, If you got bad wheels, you're just not going to be a very good player. It's that simple. And with his talent and skill set, he needs those wheels, that knee, to be as close to, you know, being game ready as possible. I'm more concerned about the short term than I am the long term, because again, if he can't get to the point where he can get back on the floor and do the things that we're accustomed to seeing him do right now, there's no point in talking about the future, because if he can't handle things in the present, the future is irrelevant, in my opinion, at this point.
No doubt. A. Sherrod Blakely with us, NBC Sports in Boston. You know, when Hayward went down at the beginning of the year, were you surprised that, as I was, at how good they were even without him, like with that lineup? And no disrespect or anything, but I thought, like everyone else, that you lose that guy, it's not going to be the same. But they actually... like, you know, just took off flying through the early part of the season, you know, beating everyone. And I think establishing their season as a successful one, no matter what happens in the end, they were going to have a great season because of the way they played even without him in the first couple months.
And to me, that's the story that is never going to get old, because of frankly, they had no business winning that many games, 16 in a row, with a patchwork lineup. You know, when the season, before the season began, Brad Stevens had a mapped out plan of how he would use Gordon Hayward and Kyrie Irving to essentially have one of those guys on the floor for the entire game in some capacity. And that was a game plan that would just put a lot of stress on opponents, because you would have one elite scorer that you had to deal with every single minute of the game. And then you got Al Horford, who's Mr. Facilitator. And so it was a great game plan. And then 5 minutes of the season, it's in the wastebasket, out completely. I love the fact that the Celtics have found a way to convince those young guys that they're not young. Brad Stevens has really stressed the fact that, yes, you may be a rookie or a young player in this league, but you don't have to make young player mistakes. You watch film, you watch the veterans, you pay attention, you do the little things off the court to strengthen your basketball IQ so that when you get in the game, you're not going to play like a rookie. And we see that in Jason Tatum. We see that in guys like Semi Ojeleye, who doesn't put up big numbers, but he's giving them some versatility from a defensive standpoint. Shane Larkin, who was out of the league last year, is back and doing great things. So he's figured out a way to convince guys that they can play certainly a lot better than I think a lot of people expected.
Yeah, I think Shane's played as well, if not better, in the last 10 days than even Terry Rozier, who, you know, got a lot of that burn. And then I got to ask you, though, about two other things. One, we never discussed Jaylen's concussion. So they're in, Portland getting ready for the game tomorrow night. Big game against a really hot team that Houston just cooled off. But they are playing terrific basketball. And this is a very tough, long road trip game against a good team. They're going to have their hands full. But Brown's concussion, speaking of badasses, this guy's been playing 30 minutes a game, giving you 14 a game and so much more. Rebounds, dimes, steals. He just makes plays. The guy has, I don't think anyone saw it coming, that he'd explode like he has this year and become such a stud. And what's his status with that concussion? That stuff's scary.
It is. And Jaylen, he's with the team on a trip, and he's targeting Ashley Sunday against Sacramento to come back. So that is great news for the Celtics. He not only does he provide those things you mentioned, but also his defense, I think, has really been the main reason why Brad Stevens has leaned on him so much. When the season began, the plan was for Jaylen Brown to basically be their defensive stopper, a two-way player who could give them some points here and there, but they wouldn't need that because you have Gordon, you have Kyrie, and then you have Al. Well, without Gordon, Jaylen has become the number two scorer on this team, and his ability to find that balance between being a scorer and an above-average defender, you know, right now he's still got ways to go, but he's showing signs of being kind of a young Kawhi Leonard in the making as far as his size, his build, and just the techniques and skills that he brings to the table. So the Celtics are very excited about the growth that they've seen out of him in a very, very short period of time.
So your boy Smart, I love him defensively, and I think he's the lunch pail guy in Boston. That's why I believe they haven't gotten rid of him or dealt him, whatever. They always talk Marcus Smart's going, but he never does, because he gives you that solid, you know, double figs, and then the rebounds, and the passing, and the, you know, the defense and the steals and the harassment. I just think he's fantastic. What is, you can't play with a bad torn thumb either, and broken fingers are bad enough, but when you tear that thumb, what's the latest on his projections?
Yeah, he's going to be out for the rest of the regular season for sure. Best case scenario for him as far as return would be, and this is very, very just being over really optimistic, he can get back for near the end of the first round of the playoffs, early second round. That is a best-case scenario for him. Realistically, if the Celtics can get to the second round, he should be able to play at some point in that second round series. But the point that you made earlier, I mean, he really has been, you know, the difference maker for them when they've been able to take off from the All-Star break to where they are now. Those guys that his numbers are never going to correlate to what he brings in terms of impact. Horrible shooting when you look at his numbers, but damn, he plays so hard defensively. He gives you a chance night in and night out to win, even on nights when statistically he hasn't played particularly well.
So Hayward's he's not coming back, but they, because the team is like, he's not playing, but he wants to play, and he's been shooting and training and getting his game back in order and working on his everything, his handle, his shot, his footwork a little bit. How's it going? And, you know, I mean, obviously, it would just ruin, I think, you know, it had to ruin his life, and then it ruined their season a little bit, if you ask me. How's he doing, and is he really that far off? I think it's smart to not play him, but is he really that far off?
Well, he's not able to practice with them, and if you can't even do that, there's no point in even getting into whether you're going to be able to play and help him. But he is making progress, and I like the fact that he has been in what I like to call keep hope alive mode throughout this entire process, because everything that we have been told, everything we've seen, he's not going to come back this year. And yet he continues to tell himself, but there's a chance I might be able to make it interesting. He's not coming back this year. But I think he's convinced himself that I'm going to keep that hope alive. And I think that's really helped him throughout this process, because when you're going through the rehabilitation process that he's going through, it can be very boring, very mundane. And it's not a whole lot to be excited and jazzed up about. But if you have this belief that if I keep putting in this work, I'm going to get back on the court, maybe even this year, I think it has helped keep him encouraged on those days when those workouts have been just absolutely brutal for him to deal with. So I encourage him to keep talking about, yeah, I got a shot to come back until there's no games for him to come back to. But the Celtics, they have maintained from the very beginning that he was not coming back this year. And just talking with people in the medical field about his injury, they've indicated that it is highly unlikely that he would come back. And even going back to the disabled player exception that they received for his injury, one of the criteria for that is a doctor to examine him, an independent doctor,
right,
to determine whether it's likely or unlikely that he'll be back by June 15th. So when they got the trade exception, you knew that the medical community did not think he would be back at the earliest June 15th. And for the Celtics, that clearly his season's over in their minds.
So do you think, lastly, Ashrod, do you think that they'll be okay in these playoffs against all these tough teams? Because everyone always says, you know, it's Toronto and Cleveland and Boston. But, you know, let's face facts. If let's say, hopefully Kyrie's, you know, just saving it up for the playoffs, because that's what I care about. And then if he's able to go and Brown's fine after the post-concussion and he's fine, I think they're a dangerous team. But there are teams, and all of them are dangerous. Even if they play Whiteside and Dragic and Wade, that's a dangerous team. And then let's say the Bucks caught them. They're dangerous with Greek Freak and Henson and company and all these guys on that team that have been able to Middleton fill it up. The Wizards will get Wall back. They're dangerous. The Pacers have played solid. Embiid, I don't want to play him and Simmons. There's all these teams that could be problematic for them. Are you worried about how they'll do in the playoffs with all these injuries they've had?
Absolutely. I mean, I think the Celtics will, even if, let's say, Kyrie's not able to play at all, I still think they've got enough depth, and I think they'll be motivated enough to get out of the first round. But the point you're making is absolutely spot on. You know, there are no cupcakes in the postseason in the Eastern Conference. There's not one single team that's going to get into the playoffs isn't capable of winning a first round series. And that for the Boston Celtics is what's going to keep them up at nights wondering, what are we going to do if we don't have Kyrie? Because again, with him, you've got a much clearer path to at least the second round and probably the conference finals. But without him, it really does become a crapshoot. A lot will depend on who you match up with, how the rest of your crew is doing health-wise, and how your opponent is in terms of the health of their team. So things become very dicey if you're the Boston Celtics and you've got Kyrie, who either is unable to play or will be to some degree limited.
So will you go to those two great college games tomorrow in Boston, or are you not supposed to go to those games because you're, like, covering the Celtics?
I will be in the studio covering the Celtics game, unfortunately. But you know what? The only reason why I'm not hurt more by it is because my team is still in the tournament, Syracuse University.
Right.
And frankly, that's all I care about at this point.
That's all. He doesn't even care about anything else. But listen, if I were you, like, I'd just pretend like I'm covering the Celtics, and I'd still go see that Nova West Virginia game and then go back
to
the studio later.
I know. That's going to be a great game. great game.
Hey, great job tonight. I love talking NBA and Celtics rag with you, Ashrod. Thanks for coming on the bench, man.
No problem, man. Take it easy.
All right, Ashrod Blakely. of NBC Sports in Boston covers the Celtics and the NBA. 855-212-4CBS. Both of these nightcap games are close. We'll keep an eye on those for you.
You're listening to Pharrell on the Bench.
CBS Sports Radio's toll-free line, 855-212-4227, is brought to you by Geico. Hey, everyone. Here's a quick way you can save money. Switch to Geico. Do you need homeowners, renters, or motorcycle insurance, too? Get it all at geico.com. It's the best time of the year. Chaos in the tourney. Baseball starting next week. Hockey and hoop playoffs right around the corner doing push-ups. The regional finals are this weekend. NHL and NBA picks every day. Daily fantasy rosters. PharrellOnTheBench.com is where it's all at. Get my snags because Pharrell hits winners, baby. So Kansas State up 47-40 on Kentucky with 12:43 left. And the other game is 41-32 Florida State just inside the first minute of the second half. Carver High, tell me about the problem in Sacramento tonight that is breaking news about a protest at the Kings game that has sent a lot of the fans home. They're not able to get into the arena for the Kings game.
Yes, there's a protest going on. It started at City Hall, I believe. Rally protest for a there was a young man who was shot, I believe, in Sacramento. 20 times. Stephen Clark.
Right.
And there was a huge rally, and they were outside the arena, and they basically, people couldn't get in, is pretty much where that goes to. So they told everybody who wasn't already in the building that that's it. Go home. You're not getting in.
And that's then the fans funny. From the upper bowl were invited to sit in the lower bowl, the ones that got in. So they're in that game right now, and the Kings are up 5 on the Hawks at the half. But not a good scene in Sacramento tonight with protests. Obviously, people very angry about the shooting of Stephen Clark.
He was 22 years old, and he was shot in his backyard, unarmed.
By the popo?
Yes.
And what did they say?
I don't know enough about the story here.
They thought he had the gun, but investigators didn't find a weapon.
He's holding a cell phone.
So they thought he was carrying a gun, and they shot him 20 times?
Apparently.
Geez, you think they put enough rounds in him?
But they started the game over 20 minutes late. They skipped player introductions, and it's just been a mess there completely.
Sacramento police say they were responding to a call about a subject breaking into vehicles. But this there was helicopter footage that shows he's not breaking into anything except jumping a fence. I'm reading as I go here. The police have now denied that he was carrying a gun, which we know.
So they've admitted he wasn't carrying a gun.
And have started an investigation into the shooting.
So Florida State's up 13 right now on Gonzaga. Can you believe the score of that game? Gonzaga never loses.
No, I'm not happy about it.
There's 18 minutes left, but they never lose. You understand that, right? They never lose games.
Well, I'm not. I think they could still win the game. What worries me now is
what
that
a great block shot by Florida State. Sorry.
I need to win the game by 6. So they're down so much right now that even if they come back and take a lead and win, they might not win by the
cover the
needed
6
amount.
You got to win by 6 or 7.
6. It's 5.5 is actually the number for me.
Wow. Mafia, are you surprised at what's happening in these nightcap games? Because K-State is still leading this Kentucky team that everybody, as you know, gave a free ride right into the Final Four. And, of course, Calipari said, if we drink the poison, we'll lose Thursday night.
I am surprised about how Florida State's been taking it to Gonzaga. That one I'm very surprised about. I mean, I know that they've performed well, but I thought Gonzaga was a much better team, more experienced. They've been here, the last 20 years they've been in the tournament. So everybody that's on this team has always gotten experience as long as you've, you know, been a part of it. Maybe not a focal point, but they've been there, done that. So I'm surprised the way Florida State has jumped out and just continued to pretty much dominate this game. I'm less surprised about the Kansas State one because every time Kentucky's been, you know, after them, they pushed back, and we saw it again in the second half. Kentucky made a run, got it, I believe it was 38. And then they went on like an 8 or 9-0 run, Kansas State. So every time Kentucky gets there and you think they're about to take control, Kansas State says, no, we got this. And they push back and get, you know, a nice little lead there and a little cushion. and they can rest a little bit and relax. And then when Kentucky takes advantage of that and gets close again, they do the same thing. So they're playing catch up the whole game.
So all of a sudden, Gonzaga's playing some tight D, and it's 45-33 Florida State. But Florida State continues to steal the ball and block shots, so they're making plays.
No field goals in the last 5.5 minutes for Gonzaga.
Really? So they just haven't scored?
They haven't scored in almost 6 minutes now.
Oh, that's over. They just scored right now. All right, so I have to ask you, seriously, with this Loyola team, they beat Miami. They beat Tennessee, which I think are both better than Nevada. Then they beat Nevada, and now they're in the Elite Eight. Carver High, you cannot deny that this team has a shot to go to the Final Four now against no matter who they play.
Absolutely, they've got a shot. I mean, look, 3 wins by a total of 4 points. They've gotten it done. That's all that matters. And I think that they'll I think they'll have a chance against either of these teams. I don't think they'll beat either of these two teams, but I think that they'll have a shot, absolutely.
I actually think that they can beat either one of them. I mean, if you beat Miami, you beat Tennessee, then you can beat Kansas State and Kentucky. I think people just automatically think Kentucky, and they think they're great. I don't think this team's great. I think they're just a good team, and I think they're more athletic than Loyola. But I'll say this. That team is a great team that plays team basketball. They move the ball. They make plays defensively. They get in transition. They finish with layups. They're not flashy with all these dunks and all these, you know, show-off plays. These are just straight ballers, two-on-one break, pass, finish. They finish at the rim. They play great defense. They move the ball. They take really good shots, and they hit. And they look like they play together forever. It's like a real team. And I think that makes them extremely dangerous.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
You're listening to Pharrell on the Bench.
All right. Clayton Custer is the great guard for the Ramblers of Loyola. And we got him on the line tonight from Hot Town, right? Isn't that where they play down at the Hub at Phillips Arena in Atlanta after their another step successfully completed 69-68 over Nevada to move into the Elite Eight? Sounds pretty nice, I'll bet, there, Clayton.
Yeah. It's super. It's exciting. We're happy. We're enjoying the moment for sure, and I can't wait to play on Saturday.
So I got to tell you, I've watched your team play a lot, not just in the tournament. I caught, you know, wind of you guys this year when you started really this run of, I mean, incredible basketball. Basically, after you guys had lost to Indiana State, you started a tear with only one loss to Bradley, and then you won every single game that you played. And I watched the, let's say, the 2 games against Illinois State. I saw you play Northern Illinois the second time. And I got to tell you, like, at the time I was watching you play, you were, like, shooting 50-some percent from three. Everybody was talking about you. But the thing I noticed about you guys that was so special when I was watching these games, like against Illinois State, when you were just destroying them the second time you played them, you killed them. The first time it was about a 6 or 7 point game, was that you guys are a real team. You play team basketball. You move the ball. You guys set screens. You get it to the big fella, Krowig, in the paint. He's got great pivot moves with his feet. The guy finishes. You guys play sick defense with your hands. And it was long before the tournament I thought I noticed you were a really good team.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, we all year we've been really good defensively. The way we pack it in, kind of make it hard for guys to score against us. And then also, yeah, you're right. I mean, we have a ton of unselfish guys on our team, and we don't care who gets the glory or who scores. And I mean, I think that is, I mean, that makes for a successful team when guys don't care if they score, they just care that the team scores.
So, how did a kid from Overland Park, Kansas, end up in Chicago playing ball for the Ramblers?
Well, out of high school, I originally committed to Iowa State. And I went to Iowa State for my freshman year, and things just didn't end up working out the way I had initially planned. And so I decided to make a change. And when I decided to transfer, Loyola was one of the first schools to contact me. And one of my best friends from high school actually committed to Loyola and was already at Loyola. So he did his fair share of recruiting, and just seemed like too good of a situation to pass up, getting to play with one of my best friends from high school, and then also just loving the vision that Coach Moser has for us.
So Clayton Custer with us. How about your boy Towns with that just huge tray at the end to ice it, because they ran out of time. They even had only 5 fouls, so it wasn't like they could put you at the line to even get a chance to get the pill back. That 3 was just a dagger. What a clutch shot.
Yeah, I mean, Marcus has been making big shots for us all year. I'm just so happy for him that he made that shot. He's just an unbelievable player, and he dominated the game tonight. He was the best player on the court tonight, and he did a great job for us. And I'm happy that he got to live that moment tonight.
I mean, you guys have beaten now Miami at the buzzer, Tennessee at the buzzer, basically, and then Nevada. I thought the 8-minute stretch in the first half where they didn't score a single point, not even a free throw, was frankly the death of them. I am not surprised at all that you are where you are now, the way you guys play together. And I think you can beat whoever's in front of you this weekend. I don't care who it is.
Yeah, no, I mean, I'm glad you say that, because, I mean, that's definitely how we feel as well. Obviously, we're watching the end of this K-State Kentucky game to see who we're going to play. But no matter who it is, we know it's going to be a tough challenge. But at this point, I mean, anybody can win in any of these games. So we definitely feel good about our chances.
Two really quick questions. You can tie them in together. One, and I'll let you go. The Loyola's had fame before, even before I was born. I'm an old dude, 52. I still play tons of ball. But the 63 championship team, this is like history repeating itself with this shot you guys have. It's incredible. It's got to mean something that the Ramblers are back in it for the school and everyone around Chicago that knows about Loyola hoops. And then I think your coach is half crazy. I mean, when I watch him on the sideline, he's half nuts, bro. He's just going ballistic, screaming and yelling. I don't even think you guys are listening to him. He's screaming at nothing.
No, I mean, obviously, we're so happy that we're bringing that excitement back to Loyola basketball. Obviously, there's actually a lot of history around Loyola basketball with the 1963 national championship team. So, I mean, yeah, we're just excited to be. Everybody in Chicago is pulling for us, so it's an awesome experience for us. And Coach, he definitely wears his emotions on his sleeve on the sideline, but he definitely gets us going, and we would not be where we are without Coach, and we love everything that he does for us.
Yeah, I love you and Richardson. You guys are great in the backcourt, and I'm a huge fan of this Crutwig kid. My overtime question to you is this. When that kid came to campus, did you see him when he weighed like 300 pounds, or were you already like, I mean, honest to God, because he's at 270, he is a low post block, like I said, pivot foot master. The moves for that big kid, big, like kind of chunky white boy, but boy, does he have some great finesse footwork touch shots from in the paint and down around the rim. I mean, this guy's a force for you guys.
Oh, yeah, I mean, by the time he's done here at Loyola, he's going to be one of the best players ever to play here. I mean, he's such good touch for a big man. He catches everything that we throw to him. I mean, he's amazing. His best aspect of his game, you don't always get to see, but it's his passing. I mean, he's an unbelievable passer. And he just has such a good feel for the game. And he's really fun to play with. He makes the game easier for us guards. So he's definitely a stud. When he first got on campus, we did see him when he was pretty big. But he worked really hard started eating real healthy, and he worked real hard in the weight room. So the crazy thing is he moves his feet pretty well for a big boy too. So he's he's going to be a really good player for a long time.
Yeah, with all those little drag moves he's got with his pivot foot, I've never seen him called for traveling once. He maintains his pivot, and he just gets guys, I mean, Lingerie City, that he's just dropping guys onions on the deck, and he looks like he's humiliating people. I got to tell you, you were great tonight, 7-9 from the floor. More importantly, 3 steals, 4 dimes. You're a great guard, dude. Congratulations on your success. I really loved watching you play all season long in the conference and in the tournament. You've been a fun player to watch. Your team's fantastic. Good luck this weekend.
Thanks so much. Thank you.
There he is, Clayton Custer, the junior guard, 15 tonight, styling for the Ramblers. How about Kentucky now for Carver High, getting involved? Down 1 to Kansas State. They were down 8 a minute ago when I started talking to Clayton Custer. Now it's 54-53 with 4:20 and counting. No pun intended.
This is the way this game has gone the whole time. Kansas State gets a cushion. Kentucky comes back.
And the little brick on the little turnaround. Jay had a little 8-footer. He bricked it.
This is where these freshmen got to become men. They got to get those big stops and get the baskets, take control.
So now Kentucky can take the lead. And they do. So now Kentucky has the lead. Have they had the lead? Have they ever had the lead? And here we go with the Ashley Judd camera work. If it's not crying babies and the old lady from Loyola, they go right to the Ashley Judd well, don't they? Every year at the Ashley Judd NCAA TV files.
Nobody cares.
About Ashley Judd.
Nobody cares.
They just never stop with Ashley Judd. So Gonzaga now down 7 to Florida State and playing these swatting shots and going the other way. Oh, with the alley-oop, but it goes
Why do that?
Bounds.
Why are you doing that
Why not
there?
Not turn the ball over there?
You need every possession right now.
Very important.
You need points. Why are we running like that and throwing the ball away?
I'd love to see Carver High into basketball and not just focusing on power plays. What a swat there. That was such a great play.
That was close.
And then you blow it. You blow the other end. You blow. Oh, and the foul. And the foul for K-State going to the line.
You know what, like I just said, is going to happen here. Gonzaga's going to win this game, but they're not going to cover. You could just see it. It's coming. You just know it.
I don't know about that, but 10 minutes left. There's tons of time for them to win this game. The one that I'm worried about is K-State. How can you play this great? How can you play this great against Kentucky and not finish the deal? You know what I mean? I mean, you got to finish the deal. According to Carver High, if you don't finish the deal, you don't go out with the hot chick after the game. You basically end up eating your ice cream by yourself. Anyway, that was a great play right there by the kid with the reverse and the layup, right? They're not that was and one, so what they call a TV timeout, and they're going to come back, and he's going to shoot the free throw?
Yeah, the under four timeout.
Is that a word? Like a – oh,
that's when they do the TV timeouts, after 16, 12, 8, and 4.
Is that right?
In every half, yeah.
So your boy Diarra with the steal and the finish and the foul. So – I just had an enormous stomach growl that was so loud I could hear it outside of my ear plugs that I got in my skull right now. I use like earbuds. I use these Bose earbuds. They're badass. You can see them on the I Am Scott Burrell app or on any of the videos that we put on YouTube or on the CBS Sports Radio website. That's got to be a travel, right? Was that not a travel when he shot it to himself? He took steps and caught it and kept going and shooting, and he still got the ball swatted. It's a 4-point game. Florida State up 9 left and a timeout. Carver, you didn't think he walked there, the kid from Gonzaga?
No.
No. Who cares after they showed the Florida State cheerleader? Shake it, shake it, shake it. Anyway, did you see your boy, Danny Hurley, our guy from Rhode Island, the Rams. Our guy Danny Hurley is taking the job at UConn. We were right all along. Less money didn't matter.
I think that's the right move for him.
He got a 6-year deal, fat money, $2.5 million per year to coach the Huskies.
Good move for Danny.
I think he'll do a great job at UConn.
He'll get them going again.
I think so. Do you think he can coach better than Kevin Ollie?
Well, I mean, here's the problem. I mean, Kevin Ollie's won a national title. His kids are not. He still won the national title.
He got it
title.
Done.
Yeah.
And then they whacked him.
I mean, the guy was up for NBA jobs a couple years ago.
Right. Do you think he'll be up for NBA jobs now?
No.
No.
He'll coach somewhere, though. You know he's getting another shot somewhere.
Oh, yeah.
Maybe he'll go. Maybe Pitt will be interested in him.
Aren't they going to take the guy Hopkins?
That's the word on the street.
Oh, God. Well, how stale is
one
that?
1 year at Washington. He's going to
he did a great
there.
Job. Is it only 1 year this year he didn't
was,
do?
This was for, he was at Syracuse forever. He was Boeheim's assistant for years and years and years and years. Finally takes a job in Washington last year, and he's going to bolt after 1 year.
1 year to go to Pitt? Then he can lose to Boeheim, who said he was going to retire 25 times now. Wasn't he supposed to retire like 10 years ago? And he never did. He must really love hanging out with his wife at home.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.